I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Bobby Sylvester. We're going to be talking some football in just a moment, but first, the Fantasy Pros Chrome extension provides you with instant expert advice for your team on any website. It's going to help you set your optimal lineup with just a single click based on the consensus opinions of the top fantasy football experts. And you can quickly see the top available players in your league based on Fantasy Pros expert consensus rankings. Guys, these in-season features currently support Yahoo, ESPN, NFL.com, My Fantasy League, and CBS Leagues. Again, that's the Fantasy Pros Google Chrome extension. It's really going to help you guys out. All right, let's talk some football. Hey everyone, welcome into the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Tagliere, and we're on Twitter at BobbyFantasyPro and at Mike Tagliere NFL. Please join me in thanking our new sponsor, the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast, Grammarly. Grammarly is a communication tool that helps people improve their writing to be mistake-free, clear, and effective. Start writing confidently by going to grammarly.com/fantasypros to get 20% off a Grammarly premium account today. Tex, how's it going, man?
Oh, man, it's going. It's a weird time of the year, right? It's like we're busy doing football stuff, and I went to go to get a drink before we started recording the podcast, and my wife decided to like take on a home project, and she's trying to put trim on the wall, and it's turning out horribly, and I told her just wait for me, but she's insistent upon getting it done and not waiting until the season's over.
Oh, so you're like really nervous as the podcast is going on, wondering what your home's going to look like when the episode's over.
Oh, yeah.
So, guys, we're going to be talking Week 9 starter sit today, and we brought in a great guest. It's Heath Cummings of CBS Sports. He's on Twitter, at Heath Cummings Senior, and give him a follow if you don't already. Heath, how's it going?
I am also at a weird spot, and if there was any type of home repairs happening at my house, it would be my wife doing it, because she knows that I, this time of year, just don't participate. Thankfully, she's not putting up any trim right now.
So, Heath, I see your picture on your Twitter right now, and you look like Gardner Minshew. Can you tell us the backstory there?
I lost a bet. Let's see. It was 3 weeks ago. It was the silliest bet you've ever heard of. I believe it was John Hilleman versus Jordan Howard, and neither of them even scored 5 fantasy points. But I did lose by the Hilleman fumble, actually. He lost his career, and I lost the bet. I had to wear this mustache for a week, and I did it, and I was like, you know, I kind of like it. And then Minshew had a good game, and I'm like, well, I'm going to wear it another week. And then Minshew had another good game. And then it's like 4 days from Halloween, and my 10-year-old is going as a...
So you're still rocking the mustache?
I still have the mustache. My 10-year-old is going as a Demogorgon tomorrow night, and he wanted me to be Hopper. And I think I can pull Hopper off. So I'm just going to keep it for a while.
That's fantastic. Tags knows a lot about losing bets. Tags, do you want to tell them what you had to dress up as on our live stream yesterday?
So yeah, obviously it's Halloween coming tomorrow. By the time you're listening to this, it's going to be Halloween. I had to dress up as Napoleon Dynamite. So if you guys want to check that out.
You did it really well, by the way. It was awesome.
I tried to do it right. I opened the show with a dang it. So I tried to play the part.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, and I don't know. I mean, maybe I'll lose a bet sometime this season. Tags, when's the last time I lost one? Like before the NFL draft, maybe?
I don't know. It's been too long, that's for sure. That's all I know.
Okay, so we're going to do one probably next week. I don't think we have anything planned for this week. But guys, let's get it right into the starter sit. I really thought that we'd have some kind of news to talk about, but nothing happened at the trade deadline. It's really boring. I was really hoping Le'Veon Bell would get traded or Chris Harris Jr., any of these guys, anybody, but nothing happened. So we'll go to the running back position, and we're going to talk about guys that, as always, if you're new to the show, what we like to do is talk about guys outside the top 15 running backs. Obviously, you're starting Marlon Mack, Tevin Coleman, all those guys. What about Melvin Gordon, though, Heath? He gets a great matchup this week against Green Bay, but this Chargers running offense has not done anything since Gordon got back.
It's been really bad. I expect it to get better, though. I do like the fact that they've really cut into Austin Eckler's work for Melvin Gordon. I don't like it as a whole because I have a lot more Austin Eckler on rosters than I do Melvin Gordon. But for Gordon's value, I like the usage split last week. I think Anthony Lynn taking over more play calling, not necessarily doing the play calling, but he's going to have more impact on the play calling, will mean that they go a little bit more run heavy and try to establish the run. Probably a bad overall scheme, but again, good for Melvin Gordon. He's a borderline top 20 guy that I'm probably starting.
Yep, I've got him right around that range too. And, you know, he has first game, he was getting reacclimated against Denver. He touched the ball 16 times. He was okay. Week 6, Pittsburgh, pretty good run defense. Tennessee in week 7, a very good run defense. And then week 8 against Chicago with Akeem Hicks out. I thought this might be the turnaround. Now, Tags, do you think this means Melvin Gordon's just really not very good behind this offensive line? Maybe he's not in the best shape, or do you think he's going to turn it around this week against Green Bay?
I do think he turns it around, and I would actually start him over Marlon Mack personally. The Marlon Mack matchup against Pittsburgh is not a good one, but I actually believe that.
I don't care, man. I'll take 20 carries out of Marlon Mack any day against any team.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to get him though against Pittsburgh. That's the concern. But I mean, again, so the thing is with Melvin Gordon, I think the only good can come out of this coaching change. Like they've only run the ball 15 times per game over the last 4 weeks. I think it's funny. I was writing the primer, and you know, one of my peeves right now is that so many people are calling Austin Eckler needs more work and this and that. Did you know that since Melvin Gordon returned, Austin Eckler has averaged 1.9 yards per carry? No, you probably didn't know that because you're too busy trashing Melvin Gordon's 2.5 yards per carry. Yes, Eckler is going to be used in games when they fall behind, but this is all about a team that is not running the ball enough. And they're just, they basically, you know, we talked about Mike Williams dropping passes and you're like, well, who else are they going to throw to? And it's all about dumbing down the offense a little bit and going with a run heavy approach. When a team hires a new offensive coordinator or a new head coach, what happens that season? I've done studies on this, and teams average, like they generally run the ball about 20 to 30 times more per season. It varies on a coach by coach basis, but it's much harder to implement a new passing game when you walk in as an interim play caller than it is to say we're going to run the ball a lot. They need to run the ball a lot against the Green Bay Packers because the Packers have sucked against the run. They've allowed a league high 4.94 yards per carry. Melvin Gordon is still the same running back. This offensive line, is it dinged up a little bit? Yeah, but is it like legit that much worse than it was like last year? This has never been really a great offensive line. So I like Melvin Gordon as an RB2 this week. I suggest playing him.
Would you play him over Austin Eckler, Tags?
I would, yes.
ECR, by the way, that's our expert consensus rankings, 100 plus analysts around the industry. We mix them all together and say this is as a whole what the analysts think. Austin Eckler's RB14, Melvin Gordon 16 for what it's worth. I've got them 17 and 20. Now let's move on. We're going to play a game where I give you guys three running backs. You tell me which one you would rather start if you're dealing with this situation. We got Philip Lindsay at home against Cleveland, Sony Michel at the Baltimore Ravens, and then we'll go Mark Ingram at home against the Patriots. Heath, of these three, Philip Lindsay, Sony Michel, Mark Ingram, which would you most be comfortable playing?
I'm going to go right back to Lindsay, if for no other reason than he is the one that's going to have involvement in the pass game. And I would expect that with this quarterback change, the Broncos are going to try to really lean heavily on the run game. They're not going to take as many shots downfield with Brandon Allen at quarterback. So I feel much more confident in Lindsay's PPR floor, and that may give him a better ceiling as well. I'm scared of both Ingram and Sony Michel. Obviously,
agree.
Two guys that just have not done anything in the passing game, so they're just touchdown dependent low end number twos, better as high end flexes really this week.
Tags, I would agree with that. I think Mark Ingram's a little bit too high this week. Obviously, the matchup against New England is not ideal, but what I'm concerned about is he's the number two running back on his team because Lamar Jackson is the number one. He's just not getting enough touches to warrant starting against the Patriots in my mind.
You're probably going to start him just because, like, with bye weeks here, like, I'm looking at the running back rankings this week, and there's some guys in the top 30 that should not be there, but with the bye weeks that we have with four teams on bye, it's kind of created a situation where you're going to be starting people that you don't really want to. I don't like Ingram this week, but at the same time, I have him at 21 in my running back rankings, so it's not like he's too low. I don't like him. I don't like Michelle either. So this one's easy for me. It's Philip Lindsay. They're going to run the ball a ton with Brandon Allen under center. Cleveland is not running away with any game. They're not scoring points right now. There's just not much that they're doing well, so I don't see them running away from the game. Philip Lindsay has at least 15 touches in it's 5 of 7 game or 6 of 8 games. So yeah, I'm going to play Philip Lindsay here.
So you've got Mark Ingram quite a bit lower than ECR as well. He's all the way up at running back 18 this week. And I mean, I guess it makes sense with the teams on bye, but still, Frank Gore's sitting at 29. I'd rather play Frank Gore this week than Mark Ingram. Frank Gore gets Washington.
You'd rather play Gore than Ingram?
Yeah.
I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, I'm not there either. I'm below ECR on Ingram, but just a little bit. I just keep waiting for the other shoe to drop with Buffalo, and all of a sudden Devin Singletary gets more touches like he deserves.
I hope so. I'm a Singletary owner, but so far what we've seen is Frank Gore, regardless of Singletary being healthy, getting a lot of work, and it's just Washington. That's the really big thing to me. I wouldn't mind starting either of these guys. I just really don't like Mark Ingram getting 10 carries against the Patriots. I don't think that's going to cut it, guys.
Yeah, it's not pretty. But Frank Gore is not pretty either, though. Like, I can't. I mean, I have him at 29, so I'm obviously like low on him.
No, that's where ECR has him as well. That's I guess I'm just a little bit higher on Frank Gore.
Yeah, I think the question would be, would you start someone like Kenyon Drake over someone like, let's pretend someone has Carlos Hyde against Jacksonville. Would you start Kenyon Drake over him, or would you start Kenyon Drake over someone like LeSean McCoy?
So Kenyon Drake faced San Francisco. Would you rather start him over LeSean McCoy or Carlos Hyde? What do you think, Heath?
Yeah, I'll start him over both because, I mean, no Chase Edmonds, no David Johnson. They're going to run a lot of plays. They may not pick up a lot of yards, but we do look. There have been three running backs that have had 14 carries or more against San Francisco. They all got over 80 yards. Drake's going to have a lot of involvement in the pass game. And I don't know with LeSean McCoy. It frustrates me to no end what Andy Reid has done the last two times that LeSean McCoy has fumbled. He's been so much more effective in the run game, but I don't have a good grip on how many touches I should expect for him this week after he did not play again after the fumble. So I'd like to stay away from both Hyde and McCoy. And I think Drake's a decent, very low-end number two running back this week.
I would agree over McCoy because I think Williams is going to be the starter. He took over at the end because the Fulham Williams looked pretty good. I mean, he was the starting running back before he was hurt. Now that he's healthy, maybe he gets back to that. It's just too much up in the air with a bad matchup. Mahomes is likely going to be out. So I would agree over McCoy, but Carlos Hyde averaging 20 touches the last 4 weeks. And then Jacksonville, while they've had a couple good games against the run overall, they've been about mediocre. So again, 16, 18, 20 touches against Jacksonville. I think that's startable for Carlos Hyde. I do want to mention this, however, with the San Francisco defense. Okay, so everyone thinks, man, the San Francisco defense, it's the hardest to run against in the NFL, if not for the Patriots. But who have they faced? Tags, we talked about this before. Ronald Jones, Joe Mixon, James Conner. Okay, Nick Chubb, that was a tough one. Malcolm Brown, Adrian Peterson, and then last week, Christian McCaffrey. And Christian McCaffrey did really well against them because I don't think they're an elite run defense. I think they're top quadrant, but that's not somebody that you avoid in my mind. And so I wouldn't mind starting Kenyon Drake getting 20 carries against him.
Yeah, even Adrian Peterson was able to get 81 yards on the ground against San Francisco. So, I mean, the question is, they haven't allowed a lot through the air. They are a zone-heavy team, which is really, it should like allow for production with tight ends and running backs. So I'm not sure if it just hasn't been, like, teams just haven't targeted that area of the field. I know that teams average very few plays against San Francisco. That's, like, part of the thing. But we know Arizona wants to run a lot of plays. The question is, can they be efficient enough to stay on the field? That's the question. So Kenyon Drake, I have at 26 right now. I'm willing to move on him. I just don't really know how to feel about this offense. It's possible that Zach Zenner is involved in like a 50-50 timeshare. I don't think that's the case, but Is it possible because Drake's only been with the team for a couple days? Sure.
I'm going to guess it's possible, yeah. And especially on the goal line, that would be dangerous, right? Because, you know, if Kenyon Drake was just to get a couple opportunities there as opposed to zero, it's a really big difference from a fantasy standpoint. Let me give you guys three more running backs. Actually, you know what? Before I do, I wanted to ask you this, Heath, because you were talking about Gardner Minshew and you seemed pretty excited about his performance. Are you a Jags fan or do you have him on your team?
I am not a Jags fan at all.
Oh, man. I was really hoping to find a best friend because I'm a Jags fan. I don't know any other Jags fans.
No, most of my career here at CBS, Jags fans have hated me because of all the Blake Bortles jokes that I made. But now I'm fully on Team Minshew. I'm going to be really, really upset if they bench him for Nick Foles. And then the Jags fans will go back to hating me again.
That better not happen, by the way.
Yeah, it better not. Here are the three running backs. Royce Freeman at home against Cleveland, Jordan Howard at home against Chicago, and James White at Baltimore. Tags, I feel like every single week we throw James White in one of these, and we both always say James White. Are you doing it again? I'm on board.
I have James White, literally. You name like the rankings I have. I have it: James White, Jordan Howard, Royce Freeman. Like, I have those three legitimately right next to each other. So I think they're all in the same tier. Knowing that Baltimore like stuffs the run, Brandon Williams. The thing, like, so many people have Sony Michel. I saw him; his ECR is much higher than it should be this week. Sony Michel doesn't do work in the pass game. He hasn't been very efficient with carrying the ball. So why are we gonna?
He's touchdown or bust.
Yeah. So why are we trusting him against a Baltimore defense that's been like really stout outside of one game when they were missing Brandon Williams? But Jordan Howard is a really good play. I think Howard comes with a solid floor as well. That's a home game for Philly. The Bears are, again, they've allowed 6 rushing touchdowns over the last 3 games. Miles Sanders dinged up, wasn't at practice today. So I think Jordan Howard's in for a big workload. I don't think you can go wrong between him and James White. I don't think Freeman's a bad start either.
I agree. I like all three of them. I've got them all in my top 20. Heath, how do you feel about these three?
I'm a little bit lower, I think, on all three of them, but I like Howard the best. And it really, I do think he like Michelle, has a pretty big range of what you would expect from him, depending on what format you're playing in half PPR. I think I've got him 23rd. I'm a little bit worried about James White and his usage when Rex Burkhead has played. I believe he had 6 touches last week. He had 6 white touches in week 2 against the Dolphins. He had 9 in week 1 against the Steelers. Those 4 weeks that Burkhead was out, he had 10 targets, 9 targets, 9 targets, 8 targets. Burkhead kind of muddies that situation for both Michelle and James White because he can do both of their jobs and just gets a few snaps here and there. So I'm just a little bit concerned about him. I like White as a start in full PPR. In half PPR, he'd actually be my 3rd favorite of this group.
You know, this is really crazy. I don't think I've ever seen this before. So far through 7 games, James White has between 12 and 14 PPR points in every single game. How's that possible?
That's crazy. He only has 1 touchdown, so it's like eventually there's going to be some touchdowns mixed in there. And so the reason I kind of like White, though, Heath, is that so obviously, you know, Burkhead coming back, that does eat into some things, but Brady has been throwing the ball a ton in games that they're blowing out opponents. If they're not going to be able to run the ball against Baltimore, they're going to go through the air. And if you look at the cornerback matchups that they have, you know, Julian Edelman gets Marlon Humphrey. You're going to have Jimmy Smith coming back to the lineup with Mohamed Sanu or whoever covers him, Philip Dorsett with Marcus Peters. And it's like these matchups are not great matchups for the wide receivers. So do we tend more to like the Ben Watson or do we go to James White? It seems like this could be a White game.
Yeah, I'm more concerned they just aren't going to have that much success running or passing the ball. I think this could be a pretty low-scoring game.
All right, guys, we're going to keep rolling with the running backs here in just a moment. But first, I want to remind you all, we've got a Julian Edelman signed helmet giveaway, and it ends this Thursday night. So you're going to want to enter this. It takes like 30 seconds to do. All you have to do is leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher. Send a screenshot of that review to contest@fantasypros.com. If you want details, check out fantasypros.com/contest. And we get to do this giveaway thanks to Pristine Auction. When you go to pristineauction.com, just sign up really quick. It's free to do. Enter the registration code FANTASYPROS, all one word. That's going to get you $5 off. And it also tells them we're sending people their way. That way we can keep doing giveaways like the Julian Edelman one we have going on right now. And you guys are going to love Pristine Auction because there is something for you no matter who your team is, almost no matter who your favorite player is. I found some really obscure players that I absolutely love. I just got a Justice Hill signed helmet delivered to my door last week. And there's great values on Pristine Auction because there's so many items that go up for bid every single night. If you search hard enough, you're going to find some great values. And everything is guaranteed authentic from only the most trusted sources. Again, that's pristineauction.com, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, auction.com. All right, guys, let's go to the next group of three running backs. We'll go with David Montgomery at Philadelphia, Jamal Williams at the Chargers, and Adrian Peterson at the Buffalo Bills. Do you feel comfortable with any of these three, Heath?
I like Montgomery and Williams okay as low-end number two starters. Williams, I'm scared of his touches the last 2 weeks, but this is just another very, very good matchup, and you know it's basically going to be a home game for the Packers. And so I don't really dislike his chances of kind of producing in an unsustainable way one more time. I think Montgomery will have an increased role in the passing game like he did last week. He won't get the 27 carries, but 17 would be just fine, even in a bad matchup. I'm not going to trust Adrian Peterson in this game against the Bills. I know they got gashed by the run last week, and they haven't been as good as we expected against the run. I still think they'll be good against the run against Washington.
I would agree with everything that you said, Tags. You going to make it three people here?
I have Jamal Williams the lowest. I would agree in terms of Montgomery over Peterson, but it's close. I mean, like even I said this a few times, is that Sean McDermott, he's now been the coach of the Bills for 39 games. In those 39 games, they've allowed 42 rushing touchdowns. This is not like a new thing for them. Their defense against the pass is like legit. And we know under Bill Callahan that they're running the ball. And do we expect the Bills to run away with this game? I don't think so. I mean, otherwise we would be starting Frank Gore or Devin Singletary. They just don't blow out teams. That's not what they do. So knowing that there's been eight different running backs who have totaled at least 60 yards in the ground against the Bills, I'm not opposed to starting Peterson. I have him at RB25. I have Montgomery at RB24. So I think that they're both playable this week. And I'm usually against Adrian Peterson, but under Callahan, they're just running the ball a ton. And Buffalo's weakness is against the run.
Let's get one more group of three running backs, and then we'll ask for people, running backs that you would feel comfortable playing outside of the top 30. So here's my next three. We're going to leave James Conner out of this because it's really up in the air about his health. Devin Singletary against Washington, Mark Walton against the Jets, and Kenyon Drake. We already talked about him against the 49ers.
Drake.
I may be responsible for Mark Walton being this high in the ECR because...
I see the highest rank he is 22. Is that where you have him?
I've got him just a little bit higher. I think mine might not be showing up yet. I just entered mine in this morning.
Oh, okay.
I've got him a little bit higher than that, actually. I think this is a good matchup. The Jets traded away one of their best run stoppers, and then they've lost CJ Mosley, who's going to be out. And they weren't very good in the first place. And I expect Walton to get 15 plus touches. I love the fact that he got 11 carries to Kalen Ballage's 3 in their most recent game. I like the fact that he got 6 targets. He's going to be more efficient than he was against the Steelers. I'm mostly just starting Mark Walton.
I mean, I love Kenyon Drake this week, so I've got him a little bit higher, but I think Mark Walton's a really good play too. I've got him in my top 24. Tags, where do you stand on Walton?
I don't have him in my top 30. I'm sorry, guys. I'm not with you guys in this one. Yes, he's getting the touches, and that does come with some value, but it's all about, like, what's the ceiling here? It's like, are you aiming for a 6-point floor? Yeah. I mean, I'm fine with Walton there, but the Jets have allowed just 3.3 yards per carry on the year. It's a lot of, basically, a lot of the production that's come against them has been touchdowns, and knowing that Mark Walton he doesn't get goal line touches. Like, we've seen Kalen Ballage come in inside the 5-yard line. He has five of the only 6 carries they have inside the 5-yard line this year have gone to Kalen Ballage. He's not good, but that's what they're doing. And, I mean, the Jets did just trade away Leonard Williams, which does hurt their run defense, but I don't think he's bad for a floor play, but I ask myself, I'm like, what's the ceiling with him? And I just don't think it's high enough to raise him like above guys like maybe like a Kenyon Drake.
I think that's fair when you contemplate, you know, the goal line stuff. But just this week, I can't find 25 guys that I like more than him. So that's really what it comes down to for me. Now, outside of the top 30, Heath, is there somebody that you feel comfortable playing? Maybe a Tariq Cohen, a Damian Williams, even against Minnesota? Are we going to go to Alexander Mattison against Kansas City and just hope the Vikings run the ball 40 times?
I think he might be the right choice. I wouldn't say that I feel comfortable starting him. I don't have him ranked inside of my top 30, but the Chiefs have given up a touchdown to a secondary running back, I believe, 3 weeks in a row. Mattison has 50 yards or more in 4 of his last 6, and I think he has double-digit carries in 2 of his last 3. So there's a pretty decent chance you're getting a good floor from Alexander Mattison this week, at least.
I would agree with that. I've got him outside my top 30 as well, but I definitely would not mind playing Alexander Mattison rather than, you know, dropping the high upside handcuff guy and hoping that, you know, somebody else might get me 10 points. Like, Mattison has a fine floor and he's got a decent ceiling this week. Tags, would you agree with that? Or do you have somebody else that you're fond of outside the top 30?
I would say I actually have him right at round number 30 is Raheem Mostert. It seems like Matt Breida is not going to play. According to Kyle Shanahan, he's like, if this game were played today, he wouldn't be out there. It wouldn't be good or something like that. So I don't think he's going to play. And there's been obviously 12 to 16, 17 touches available for him per week. They've even involved Mostert. And knowing that Jeff Wilson is dinged up too, we're going to see a lot of Tevin Coleman and Raheem Mostert against this Cardinals defense. So Mostert is a guy that's like, I'm anticipating him to get like a dozen touches. And if he's getting that against the Cardinals, I have him as a top 36 play.
I just don't have any idea. Like I saw what Shanahan said. I also saw a different quote where he said both Breida and Mostert have a good chance to play. I saw a different quote where it looked like it could just be Jeff Wilson and Tevin Cole. Like I have no idea.
These guys are the worst, aren't they?
If Breida and Wilson are both out, I agree with the Mostert call and I'd rather start him over Madison. Every time I go Google Matt Breida's name, I get a different report.
I think that's totally fair. And we'll know by Thursday, so we'll be able to make the decision. It's not like we have to wait till Sunday night and just play the guessing game. Like, maybe this guy will play. I'll keep him in my starting lineup. So it's really nice to have those Thursday games from a fantasy perspective. Now let's go to the wide receiver position. Some obvious ones, Allen Robinson, Julian Edelman, stuff like that. Obviously, we're playing them. Let's move on to outside the top 20. I've got Michael Gallup here against the Giants. Tyrell Williams, he looked good last week, even with the plantar fasciitis. He's at home against the Detroit Lions. And then let's throw in Marvin Jones as well. So we got Gallup, Tyrell Williams, Marvin Jones. Tags, which of the three are you taking?
I think you have to play Marvin Jones against Oakland.
I've got him number three of the group. ECR does too, Tags. You're the outsider here.
I have Marvin Jones at 16. I don't know why you wouldn't play him. Like, the Raiders are terrible. Like, their secondary, they don't have it, man. And they traded away Gary and Conley, one of their starters. So Trayvon Mullen has entered the starting lineup. Stafford doesn't have a run game. I went back and watched that game this morning, actually. And Ty Johnson's the better running back. None of them are great, but Ty Johnson's the better running back. Trey Carson got most of his yards on a hole you could drive a truck through. Like, he's not very good. They just don't have a run game right now. Oakland stops the run fairly well, actually, this year. They've been pretty good. Against the pass, like, I have Stafford as a top five quarterback play this week. So obviously I'm confident and comfortable playing someone like Marvin Jones.
I actually have Marvin Jones third as well. My favorite is Michael Gallup, but I like Gallup and Tyrell Williams more than I do Jones. The only thing that worries me with him is there's not been very much consistency at all in his targets. He's got five targets exactly in three of his last four games. Danny Amendola's got 200 yards receiving in the last two. So I agree with Stafford's the top five quarterback, wholly on board there. I'm a little confused as to which secondary Lions wide receiver is going to be the better one. And I don't feel confident it's going to be Jones. I think he's a good number three, but I prefer the other two wide receivers.
You know, there's some question marks with all these guys. Obviously, what if Tyrell Williams' plantar fasciitis really flares up during the game and he doesn't play the second half? Michael Gallup, since he came back from injury, yeah, he had the one really big week against Green Bay, 7 for 113 and a touchdown. Last 2 weeks, he kind of disappeared. 4 for 48 against the Jets. Supposed to be a good matchup. 3 for 34 against the Eagles. That was supposed to be a great matchup. Does that worry you at all, Tex?
Not really. Again, it's on a week-to-week basis, and you know, there's a lot of people that weren't playing Marvin Jones when he kind of went off, and it's for reasons like that, but it's all about looking at the matchups and what they do and don't do well. They just didn't have success running the ball is basically what it came down to with Detroit. The Oakland offense is able to put some points on the board, and another reason I like him so much is because if Darius Slay is out, and that's, I'm kind of assuming that, and if Darius Slay plays, I'm actually going to lower everybody in this game, because like the change that he makes to it, that Lions defense and a team that runs man coverage so much, it's massive. Like, he's been out the last 2 weeks. Well, last week and then the week before, he had to leave the game early. They've allowed 8 passing touchdowns in those two games. Like, the Lions defense is different with and without him. So I'm anticipating the Raiders being able to put points up on the board at home against the Lions defense without Darius Slay, therefore putting Stafford in an opportunity to throw the ball 40 times. I like Galladay. I have Galladay as a top 6 wide receiver, but I think Marvin Jones is plenty startable. I like Gallup too. I have Gallup at 21. I do like Tyrell Williams. I have him at 22. It's just I like Stafford the most.
I like all three of these options. Now I'm going to get to another group that is a lot more challenging, right? Because we've got two really difficult matchups. Cortland Sutton, likely going to be shadowed by Denzel Ward. In fact, that's almost a guarantee. We've got Terry McLaurin, almost certain to be shadowed by Tre'Davious White. And then DK Metcalf at home against the Bucs. That's a great matchup, but obviously Metcalf is not as good as Terry McLaurin and Cortland Sutton, and not a guarantee to get as much volume either. Heath, of these three, which do you like the best?
Sutton is the one that I like the best. I think Metcalf may have the higher ceiling, so he's not too far behind Sutton for me. As of right now, I believe Dwayne Haskins is the guy taking first-team snaps in Washington's practice. If he's starting at quarterback, I don't think you can really even consider Terry McLaurin. McLaurin looked pretty good against a difficult matchup last week in the first half when Case Keenum was throwing the ball and then just disappeared with Haskins playing quarterback. So I'd go Sutton, Metcalf, McLaurin. I would raise McLaurin a little bit if we get notice that Case Keenum's fine.
Tags, Dwayne Haskins looked horrible, but is this somebody that we think is going to be better for wide receivers moving forward?
It hasn't been good. So McLaurin, I'm not necessarily high on him regardless. Like, Tre'Davious White's not going to shadow him, but because they're not shadowing this year, they're just playing sides. But either way, Buffalo has been really difficult to move the ball against in the secondary. Courtland Sutton, I do not like at all. Brandon Allen taking over at quarterback. Like, the Browns have one goal to stop Courtland Sutton. They can bracket him. They can shadow him. They can do whatever the hell they want. The question is, can Brandon Allen get him the ball? And I don't know if he can. I mean, let's go back to the start of the year. We were worried about Courtland Sutton, right? Like, nobody was drafting him as like a wide receiver two or a wide receiver three. They were drafting him as a bench player that they were hoping he would step into a bigger role. And Flacco was a guy that targeted him when he was even blanketed in coverage. Like, Sutton's been winning some contested catches. I don't have faith in him. Like, I honestly don't think I'm going to rank him as a top 30 wide receiver this week. I don't like him. The matchup isn't great. I just think that's a low scoring game. Denver's probably going to run the ball a ton. So this one is easy for me with DK Metcalf against Tampa Bay. Secondary that is just brutal, man. And like, Vernon Hargraves is the cornerback that he's going to match up with most of the time. Vernon Hargraves has been like a bust his entire career. Metcalf, the targets have been there. The air yards have been there. He still has more air yards this year than Tyler Lockett. So, I mean, the guy tied to Russell Wilson. Yeah, I'm going to take DK Metcalf, who I have as a top 24 play this week.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here, okay? When Kyle Allen took over for Cam Newton, everybody was like, oh, crap, this is horrible for Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore. When Gardner Minshew took over for Nick Foles, nobody thought that Dede Westbrook was going to be anything. Nobody thought that DJ Chark was going to be a wide receiver four, let alone a wide receiver one. When Nick Mullins took over last year, he was really good. A lot of times these backup quarterbacks are fine. And Joe Flacco's not really good. Like, there's a chance. There is a chance that maybe it's an upgrade here.
I'm going to say no.
You would have said no about Gardner Minshew too.
He threw three interceptions this preseason playing against backups. Like, no touchdowns.
I mostly agree. I would say, I feel like there's a better chance that Brandon Allen has a surprisingly good game this week than Haskins.
I would agree with that. I mean, I don't think it's high. I don't think it's more than 50-50. I'm just saying, like,
I still think there's a much better chance that Dwayne Haskins is a better quarterback eventually. But Haskins was just so bad last week and was so bad earlier that, like, I don't have any hope at all.
All right, we've got a few more wide receivers to talk about, but first, thanks to Grammarly for supporting our podcast. Grammarly is a communication tool that helps people improve their writing to be mistake-free, clear, and effective. They encourage everyone, even the best students and top professionals, to use Grammarly to do their best work and accomplish even more of their goals. I've been using Grammarly since even before I was an analyst at Fantasy Pros, and frankly, I never realized how much of a train wreck my grammar and spelling were until I started using it. Having Grammarly on my side may have been the difference between me getting noticed for this job or still working my boring old IT job. I had a serious issue with being concise, and Grammarly Premium helped me nip that in the bud. Look, I don't care how smart you are, Grammarly is going to make you improve yourself while looking and sounding smarter. You can show your best self across a number of platforms, including the online browser extension, the desktop editor, and a mobile keyboard checker. It works with Chrome, Firefox, Safari, Edge, iOS, Android, Windows, and Mac. The free version checks your spelling and grammar, but the premium version is incredible. Adding in advanced punctuation, style within context, it helps with your vocabulary, conciseness, as I mentioned before, readability, and even structure. Accomplish your goals with the help from Grammarly and stop making those email typos on your phone. Close more deals at work this year with your emails or polish your resume to get a great new job like I did. Go to Grammarly.com/fantasypros to get 20% off your Grammarly premium account today. That's Grammarly.com/fantasypros for 20% off your Grammarly premium account. All right, guys, three more wide receivers. We've got two more in bad matchups. I guess you could say all three are in bad matchups. Golden Tate at home against the Dallas Cowboys, Alshon Jeffrey at home against the Bears, and then Mike Williams at home against the Green Bay Packers. For me, this one's really easy. I'm curious if you guys agree with me. Heath, you're first.
I don't know if I'll agree with you or not, but I'm going with Golden Tate as long as Sterling Shepard is still out. I actually think that the Giants will have a little bit of success at home on Monday night, put up a few points at least. So I like Tate's targets over the last couple of weeks. If Shepard shows up, then I would drop him quite a bit. But for now, it'd be Tate for me.
Tags, you know exactly who I'm going to say, and I know you disagree with me because we disagreed on the last show about this one. I'm buying low on Mike Williams because of all the targets he's getting more than Keenan Allen, the receptions he's getting more than Keenan Allen, yards more than Keenan Allen in the last 4 weeks as well, and then air yards, he's top five in the NFL in that time, and Mike Williams we know is a red zone threat as well. I've got him as a wide receiver too, locked in every single week.
I said that I'm torn on Williams. Like, I don't know where to go with it, honestly. Like, because you made a point in regards to the idea that there's no one else to go to, and there's really not. I mean, looking at the starting lineup, it's gross. Like, Andre Patton, like, he's not going to steal targets from Mike Williams. But the concern is that the new offensive change, like the coordinator change, will lower the pass attempts. And if it does that, we're going to see the target volume come down. Keenan Allen is playing through an injury right now, the hamstring injury. He was falling down against the Bears all over the field. So it's possible that Mike Williams, I have him as a top 20 play this week. I do like him. I would still say Alshon, though. I don't think Alshon Jeffrey's matchup against the Bears is that bad. It seems like DeSean Jackson might come back, and that would be good for Alshon Jeffrey because it legitimately tilts the coverage, and he's going to see single coverage all game. He can win contested catches against Prince Amukamara. He could win contested catches against Kyle Fuller. So, I mean, going back to the last year in the playoff game against the Bears, he had 6 catches for 82 yards, and the Bears' defense was playing a lot better at that point. So I'm not worried about Alshon Jeffrey. Like, the crazy thing is, when I looked up Jeffrey, did you know he's been a top 36 wide receiver in 5 of 6 games that he's played this year? Like, that's a really solid floor.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I have a question, Tex. Okay, so we know that every time you say anything positive about the Bears, everyone on Twitter is like, dude, you're such a homer. When you say negative things about the Bears, do people call you a traitor?
They call me a hater. Like, why are you hating on the Bears? I thought you were a Chicago guy. And it is what it is, man. Anytime I say something negative about any team now, I get crap for it. And it is what it is. But it's my job to just give my opinion.
Heath, what team gives you the absolute most crap? Because, like, I'm sure you say negative things about every team at some point. Is there one group of fans that is, like, especially hard on you? Because I've got one in mind, and I'm curious if it's the same team.
Well, it was up until this year. It was always Jacksonville. But I haven't heard much because I like Minshew, so I don't know that I can come up with a group of fans this season that have really been mad at me.
Oh, wow, that's awesome. Tags, do you have one?
Everybody's mad at me.
It was the Titans last year. Like, Titans fans hated us so much.
Maybe it's 49ers fans.
Yeah, that's exactly who I was going to say.
Now that we said that they're not better than last year's Bears, the defense, and that's another thing. People are saying, your homerism is showing. I'm like, wait, did you guys not watch the Bears defense last year? I'm more than open to tell you that the Bears suck this year. I'm okay with that.
I mean, like, the 49ers are really good. They've got a legitimate chance at winning the Super Bowl. I just think they're a little bit overrated right now.
And well, I would take bets on that. If you're a 49ers fan and if you want to bet that, and like, if we could put it, like, get it notarized somehow because nobody ever pays up bets, I would bet against your 49ers winning the Super Bowl this year.
I would too. That's awesome. Okay, guys, let's keep moving. I'm going to give you guys 3 more wide receivers here. Let's go Curtis Samuel at home against the Tennessee Titans, Kenny Stills at the Jacksonville Jaguars, and Christian Kirk face the San Francisco 49ers. I don't mind either of these three, but none of them really feel all that safe, Heath. What do you think? They're all inside the top 30 ECR. I don't have any of them in my top 30 ECR.
No, the highest, I guess, and I didn't expect to say this because I've generally been the lowest on this guy for most of the year, I feel like, is Curtis Samuel. I like a little bit more in full PPR, but I am a little bit scared of that defense, and I'm scared of the ineffectiveness of the Cardinals offense, especially in the red zone so far this year. And then I think, like, Kenny Stills last week, this is just the type of guy that I'm probably going to be lower on more often than not with my process. Because, yeah, he can turn 5 or 6 targets into 100 yards and a touchdown, but if you're getting 5, 4, 6 targets on a weekly basis, I think you're going to miss more often than not.
Right. More often than not, he's going to be in that 22 receiving yards like he had last week, 24, 37, 38. That's what he's done so far this season. That's who he's always been. Tags, I've got Kenny Stills as a wide receiver 4 this week. Am I crazy?
No, that's where I have him. I have him like right around wide receiver 40 this week.
So maybe we're both crazy.
I'm not high on him at all. I mean, I don't think that I'm low on actually on that passing offense this week in terms of like Deshaun Watson. I don't think Watson's a top five quarterback this week. And like so many people are telling me that I'm wrong.
Well, because he goes up against the Jags and he's been crushed by the Jags in his career.
He has. And I know they lost Jalen Ramsey, but I mean, now he's dealing with this eye thing that I don't know what's going on with it, that it's swollen shut and it hasn't opened yet. Like, and now going to play in London. There's a lot of variables with that game that I don't know. I don't know how to feel about him. I just don't feel great about it. And it's not like Kenny Stills just had a good game against a defense that you could throw the ball all over in Oakland. So I'm a little low on him. There's a wide range of outcomes for Kenny Stills, but it's all about playing the possibilities. So I'm going to take Christian Kirk here. Kirk has seen at least 8 targets in 4 or 5 games. And the only one that he didn't was the game he had to leave. So, I mean, anytime you're getting a wide receiver with that many targets playing at home, I know San Francisco's a tough matchup. They are. But again, they're willing to allow the underneath stuff. So Christian Kirk, his average depth of target isn't very big. It seems like Kyler Murray is gravitating towards the middle of the field with those guys. So I'll go Kirk here and just take the targets.
I'll say this for Kenny Stills. If Kiki QT had played even one snap for Houston last week, I'd be a little bit more worried about him. But Kenny Stills is clearly the number two on this team.
Yeah, I don't. The QT thing is weird. Heath, have you heard anything about Kiki QT? And like O'Brien said, they asked him in the press conference after the game, and he's just like, "Yeah, we probably should have got him some more opportunities." And I'm like, "You didn't give him any opportunities. Like, he wasn't on the field, dude.
He was clearly in the doghouse. He was just lying to us all. Come on."
Oh, I know, but I'm saying, like, did we hear anything on why? Like, what happened?
I have heard absolutely nothing. My assumption is that basically Duke Johnson killed Kiki QT.
Nice.
All right, guys, we've got, let's do 2 more groups of wide receivers, and then we'll go for, you know, some really desperate plays if you've got a guy on a bye or somebody who's injured. This next group is going to start with Robbie Anderson at Miami, and they just shut down Xavien Howard, by the way. Emmanuel Sanders at Arizona, and I'm going to leave out Davante Adams because we don't know if he's playing. Let's go Jarvis Landry at Denver. So we got Landry, Sanders, and Anderson.
Yeah, I'm a little skeptical of Robbie Anderson and this entire Jets offense, even against the Dolphins, but I still like Anderson the best of this group. It's a great opportunity for the Jets. I don't doubt the matchup at all, but this is the ultimate test over the next 4 or 5 weeks of how much matchup matters, because obviously the Jets have been one of the worst offenses in the NFL, even with Sam Darnold at quarterback, against some very good defenses. Now they're going to play 6 really bad ones. I'm not sure that's going to turn them into a good offense, but it could make them average. Anderson's a high end number 3 for me, just barely inside my top 30.
Tags, I've got him at 26. How high do you have Anderson, and where do you have the rest of the guys?
That's exactly where I have him at 26. When you asked this question, I wanted to say Robbie Anderson. I really did. My rankings say that as Jarvis Landry, because Odell Beckham is like legit. He's a guy that you can consider benching this week. I'm just going to say it. I'm dead serious when I say it. Like, I'm not the hot take guy. You guys know that. I'm not someone that'll just make up crap. But playing against Chris Harris Jr., who did not get traded, here's a list of the wide receivers he's covered this year, okay? Allen Robinson, pretty freaking good receiver, 441.0. Davante Adams, 4 catches, 56 yards, no touchdowns. DJ Chark, 4 catches, 44 yards, 0. Keenan Allen, 4 catches, 18 yards, 0. Tyreek Hill, 3 catches for 74 yards and a touchdown, a little different. But T.Y. Hilton, 2 catches for 54 yards. Beckham has sucked. Like, legit, hasn't been good. He has finished as a top 35 wide receiver twice all year. And now he's in the toughest matchup that we could. I honestly think that this might be a worse matchup for wide receivers than Stephon Gilmore right now. We haven't seen a stud wide receiver total more than 4 catches against them. I mean, I don't know if Beckham is benchable just because of how talented he is. This is not a slight against Odell Beckham. It's a slight against Baker Mayfield, this entire offense, and it's major kudos to Chris Harris Jr. Do you guys, let's pretend there's a situation, okay, that someone has in their fantasy team. They're choosing between Robbie Anderson, Odell Beckham, and Tyrell Williams. Which of the two, like, which two are you playing of those guys? Would you play Robbie Anderson over Beckham this week?
I'm not.
I would not.
I totally understand what you're saying, Tags. You know, there's a big gap in standard there's a big standard deviation between Odell Beckham's rankings. Like, some people have him all the way up as a wide receiver 1. Some people have him all the way down as a wide receiver 4. You do not see that split often.
Yeah, it's just, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that like everybody bench Odell Beckham, but I'm saying it depends on your options you have. And if you have guys that are locked into production, you know, Keith, you were just talking about Golden Tate. You know, he's a guy that you think is going to be pretty produced. Like, would people start him over Beckham? It's really tough, man. Like, I'm a big fan of Beckham, the player, like of what he can do. Like, he's one of the best receivers in the NFL, but this matchup is brutal and this offense just hasn't done anything.
Yeah, I don't disagree with what you're saying. Like Tyrell Williams, I would start over Beckham. Golden Tate, I would start over Beckham. There are certain circumstances where if someone looked at my rankings, they could make the decision to sit Odell Beckham. I don't think that's a hot take this week. I'm just also skeptical about the Jets, and so that's the reason I wouldn't start Robbie Anderson over him.
All right, guys, next three, we got Corey Davis. I know Tags, people are going to be mad at us if we say anything good about Corey Davis. He gets Carolina this week, so be tread lightly there. Be careful. We got Devontae Parker. You can mix in Preston Williams if you prefer Preston Williams, so let's go Davis, one of the Dolphins receivers against the Jets, and Deontay Johnson against the Colts this week. Heath, who are you taking out of these three?
I'm going to go with Devontae Parker, which are famous last words of anyone trying to have success in fantasy football. But he's got at least 11 PPR points 4 weeks in a row. I do think that the Dolphins are going to have some success offensively. I like Preston Williams as well. I like Preston Williams' long-term upside more, but it seems like Fitz may just slightly prefer Parker. So I'll take Parker.
I'm not going to fight you on that at all. I've got Parker over Corey Davis. I've got Deontay Johnson just a little bit higher, but all these guys are just inside my top 40. Tags, where do you stand?
Yep, I have Parker as well. At least 55 yards and or a touchdown in 6 of 7 games this year. And the only game that he didn't, by the way, was against the Patriots, which, by the way, nobody produces against them. I mean, I don't hate it. And like Trumaine Johnson, like he's one of the okay, he's not good. He's like, it's like basically people have accused him of stealing money from the Jets is how not good he's been. But he hurt his ankle last week and might not play. And he was in the starting lineup for a reason because his backup is not very good. So yeah, I'd go with Parker here as well.
All right, guys, outside the top 40, Heath, you already mentioned one of the guys I love, Danny Amendola, 2 straight games, 8-plus receptions, 95-plus yards. But the other one that I absolutely adore this week, Chris Conley, with Dede Westbrook potentially being out. If he doesn't travel to London, we'll know if he's not playing. And if he doesn't, Chris Conley would be the number two against maybe the worst secondary in the NFL right now, Tags. Is that too far with Houston with all their guys banged up?
No, it's not going too far. They're terrible.
So would you start Chris Conley? I've got him in my top 40 right now, anticipating Dede Westbrook might be out.
I'd rather start Demaryius Thomas.
Ooh, all right. Let's hear it.
I mean, he's averaged 6.8 targets per game since he came with the team. Darnold, it's like Robbie Anderson is not the possession style receiver. And if Adam Gase is going, if we know anything about Adam Gase, it's that he's ticky tacky and he's willing, like going back to play against his old team. I think he would be more than happy with stomping them, like legitimately into oblivion. And I think you can do that against the Dolphins too. And it's like a confidence builder. If we go back like legit to like 3 weeks ago, Sam Darnold was being talked about the quarterback of the future and that he's the best rookie back quarterback of that class. And now people are talking about that he's seeing ghosts. But remember when he threw for over 300 yards and a couple touchdowns against the Cowboys? Well, we're playing the Dolphins here, guys. Le'Veon Bell hasn't been succeeding much running the ball behind that offensive line. So it's like we just watched Mason Rudolph be able to make Juju Smith-Schuster and Deontay Johnson. We watched them produce. So, yeah, I would play Demaryius Thomas over someone like Chris Conley.
Heath, do you have anybody outside your top 40 that you feel confident about, or did we steal all your guys?
You said most of my guys. Danny Amendola would be my favorite of the guys that you said. Preston Williams, I could see both Parker and Williams having an okay day. I don't necessarily disagree about Demaryius Thomas. I just don't know in a given week who's going to get the targets for the Jets. I assume they're only going to throw 30, 32 passes in this game. That's pretty much where they've been all year, even in games they've been losing. And you've got Robbie Anderson, you've got Jamison Crowder, you've got Le'Veon Bell, you got Demaryius Thomas. I think you're probably getting maybe six.
And Ryan Griffin was the guy last week.
Ryan Griffin gets the red zone targets. So, again, I'm just a little bit skeptical, but I would start him over a couple. Like I'd rather start Demaryius than Larry Fitzgerald because I'm terrified of him.
I'm going to mention Cole Beasley as well against Washington. Anthony Miller at Philadelphia. He's been playing a lot more for Chicago. Anybody else that you would mention, Tags?
Not really. I mean, we hit on a lot of the guys that I would be considering. Alan Lazard is someone that if for whatever reason Devontae Adams doesn't play, it seems like that he might play this week. I don't know. We don't know yet, but fortunately it's not a primetime game, so we should hopefully know more by Saturday on that situation. But Lazard is somebody that would contemplate.
All right, guys, quarterbacks. I think the top six are really easy this week. Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers every week. Matthew Stafford against Oakland. We talked about Dak Prescott against the Giants. What about, I'm going to throw in one more as well, Josh Allen against Washington, I think is a lock. What about Lamar Jackson? Heath, can we play him against the Patriots?
I'm not shying away from him. They are a phenomenal defense, but I'm not I'm not sitting Lamar Jackson.
I would agree with that. I've got him number 7. Tags, where do you have Lamar Jackson?
I have him at number 6. So you guys know the Patriots, yes, like, are they a great pass defense? Yes. But they're a team that if you want to run the ball as a quarterback, you can do it. And they allowed the most yards per carry to quarterbacks last year. We saw Mitchell Trubisky run for, I think it was 81 yards and a touchdown against them. There were plenty of other quarterbacks who had plenty of production on the ground. They play a lot of man coverage, which does typically allow for more rushing. Now, we've had, you know, a full 2 weeks for Harbaugh to game plan for this Patriots team. They're not going to want to go toe-to-toe. They know that Lamar Jackson hasn't been throwing the ball necessarily well. But the stat that I had that I want to pull it up just because I'm so proud of it, that I figured people would enjoy it, is that Lamar Jackson has not been a very good passer. But if you break it down in terms of what he's done, like rushing the ball, he has thrown just 4 touchdowns over his last 5 games. But in that time, he has rushed for 450 yards and 3 touchdowns. That would be equivalent, just his rushing totals would be equivalent to almost 16 passing touchdowns. So add in the 4 that he's had, and it's like, would you start someone that has thrown 20 touchdowns over the last 5 games? Of course you would. So Lamar Jackson, yes, you start him.
Yep, I would agree with that. Okay, so who else do you guys have locked into your top 10? I'm going first. Gardner Minshew against Houston. I've got him number 8.
Yeah, I've got him number 6, so I really like him a lot.
Okay, what about you, Tex? Who do you have locked into your top 10?
Yeah, I have Minshew there at 8. I have Jameis Winston at 9, Josh Allen at 10. I just feel like the ceiling might be a little bit limited there, but yeah, those are my top 10 there.
Did you say Matt? You said Matthew Stafford, right?
Stafford is 3. I have him at 3 right now. I might move. There's still some like finessing to go through my rankings right now, but I have him at 3 right now.
Yeah, I've got Stafford at 5 right now, so absolutely love him. And I'm probably going to start Carson Wentz this week as well.
I was going to ask about that because Carson Wentz gets Chicago, okay? Kyler Murray gets the San Francisco 49ers. So, Tags, I guess I'll ask you this because we know that Carson Wentz is starting for Heath. Would you rather start Derek Carr face Detroit against Wentz or Kyler Murray? And same question for Sam Darnold at Miami.
I would play Darnold over all. I talked about Demaryius, yeah.
You're playing Darnold over Derek Carr too?
I would, yeah. I mean, the order I have them is Darnold, Carr, Wentz, Murray.
Yeah, I've got Carr, and then Darnold, and then Wentz, and then Murray.
Yeah, I wonder. I've got it Wentz, and then Carr, and then Darnold, and then Murray. I wonder with Darnold, like, is he closer to the two quarterbacks who have kind of had some struggles against the Dolphins, Case Keenum and Mason Rudolph?
Yes, he is.
Or is he closer to the guys that have scored 28-plus? And really, that's just the first 2 weeks. They give up 52 in 6 points for passing touchdown league, 52 points to Lamar Jackson in week 1, I believe 28 in week 2, and then not more than 24 or 25 to any quarterback since, including a couple of okay performances against bad quarterbacks. So,
because you just don't have to pass the ball against them. The Jets might have to.
Right. Well, that's the thing, is that's the whole Adam Gase narrative that you could play into, but still, none of the quarterbacks that have played him, including Case Keenum and Mason Rudolph, have finished outside the top 16 quarterbacks, which is why having Darnold at 12 for me, it feels fine. Like, I'm not... I feel like the floor is top 16 and the ceiling is probably like top 6. But I'm not saying that I expect him to finish top 6 but we have seen it. And the reason that Darnold has struggled the last couple weeks is because he's terrible under pressure. And we've seen him under pressure like constantly. And he's throwing the ball off his back foot and he's doing this, he's doing that. The Dolphins don't generate pressure. They don't have talent. And they also just lost their best cornerback. So I'm going to go Darnold here.
All right, guys, tight end position. We've got 7 of the big 8 this week. One of them is on bye. So outside of those top 7, which I think ends with Zach Ertz and Mark Andrews, who do you have in your top 12 that you feel confident starting? Tags, you're first. Sorry, Heath.
Jonnu Smith. I don't think Delanie Walker is going to play. So that's where I'm going with that one. Carolina is just, they're not very good. When targeted, tight ends average 2.02 PPR points per target. That usually lends to success. Wide receivers have averaged 25.7 targets against Carolina, and we know that Tennessee doesn't target their wide receivers that much. A lot of it more funnels to the tight end position. So Jonnu Smith, I have at tight end 8 right now, assuming that Delanie Walker doesn't play.
I've got Jonnu Smith number 8 as well. Heath, who were you going to say?
I was going to say him. I've got a number 8. I'll go to a different guy that probably you guys don't have at number 9, so that will spark a little bit of debate. I'm going right back to Cameron Brate if there's no O.J. Howard. And I know he was terrible last week, but I just think with this, like once you get past the big 7 or 8, you're going to have to recognize that that guy may very well give you 3 for 32 on 6 targets. But if
Brait gets six targets on a weekly basis, and especially this week in a game that I believe has the highest over-under on the slate, I like his chances of getting into the end zone better than anyone else's, so I leave him in my top 10.
And this is provided OJ Howard is out, right?
Right.
Yeah. Dude, I have him at 9 right now, right behind Jonnu Smith, so I'm right there with you. Love it. He had six targets last week. That's a good vital sign in terms of like what he offers you from a stability standpoint, and there have been four different tight ends who have totaled at least five receptions against Seattle, so I think the floor with Cameron Brait is just too good to pass up for streamers.
So there's a tight end right now in the top 10 ECR. It seems like he is every single week, and you said, okay, so maybe Cameron Brait will have a bad week and get 3 for 32. TJ Hawkinson's best game in the last 7 weeks has been 3 for 32. He's in the top 10 ECR. I just don't understand, guys. Why do we keep going back to him? Drop TJ Hawkinson. Let him sit on the waiver wire for the rest of eternity.
This is a situation, though. Like, I'm sure Heath will chime in. It's a situation where, like, drop him for who? Like, who the hell are you picking up? Like, we talked about the guys that we would.
Darren Fells, Cameron Brait.
Darren Fells, no, gross. I would not, no, I would rather play Hawkinson over Fells.
Oh, I guess you'll pass on, 12 to 15 PPR points every single week, Tags.
He doesn't have that every single week, come on.
16-2, 16-13, 5-24. He's been a fire.
I don't want him. You could take Darren Fells. I'll take Hawkinson. I'm just saying. Oh, like, he's a rookie tight end. It was going to take a while for him to develop. Some of the targets, like, it is what it is. And I'm expecting, again, if I like the passing game, I'm going to attack that. Chris Herndon, if he's available, that's somebody that you could debate dropping Hawkinson for. But, Heath, am I wrong about Hawkinson in terms of, like, there's just nobody? I don't want to drop him for Jimmy Graham. I don't want to drop him for Vance McDonald, who just, he's terrible. Like, that's where I'm at.
This is the first week that Hawkinson has fallen out of my top 10 tight ends, and I don't like it. I don't currently have him ranked there. I do think it's a fantastic matchup against the Raiders.
Because you know he's going off for 8 and 200 yards and 5 touchdowns this week. Like,
he the Raiders, the team that just allowed Darren Fells to score 2 touchdowns. I am also not a huge believer in the Darren Fells hype. He's had 2 catches or fewer in 3 of his last 5 games, I think. He's just scored touchdowns, and I don't want to bet on that continuing against Jacksonville. So, I don't have Hawkinson ranked where the ECR is. I kind of wish that I did. If I was looking for a guy to round out the top 10, it would probably just be Jason Witten against the Giants, and I just puked my mouth a little bit.
I've got Eric Ebron in there. He's been playing a lot better lately at Pittsburgh. He's my number 10. Dallas Goedert's 11 for me. It is really ugly at tight end this week, guys. Any sleeper plays that you're fond of, Tags? You usually have somebody. You go into Jacob Hollister?
Dude, tight end, I literally want to throw up every time I have to rank tight ends. Like, because I look at it and I'm like, I get outside the top, like, 9, and I'm like, I could not believe that I put Eric Ebron at 10. I was like, you got to be kidding. There's someone better than this, right? And I'm like going through the games and I'm putting players in, and I never put anybody above him. And I'm like, this sucks. Like, streaming tight end, it has never, ever been worse. And I've said this before, where if you're an owner of one of these elite tight ends that you plug and play every single week, don't trade them. I have people telling me what's being offered to them, and I'm like, if you have one of these guys, you don't understand the struggles of streaming this year. It's just, it's been very, very difficult. There's no sure things. It's hard to find a tight end who's locked into 5 targets or more every single week, because a lot of teams are going with like a timeshare at tight end, which includes Darren Fells, by the way. So I think that's why we like Hawkinson, is because he's out there as like the primary tight end, and we just think it's going to lead to targets, but it hasn't. And that's what I'm saying. Like, it's ugly. Just hang on to your elite tight ends, and if you don't have one, go trade for one.
All right, guys, DST, who do we like this week? Obviously, San Francisco, Buffalo, New England. After those big three, who are you really fond of, Tags?
I mean, Seattle's never a bad play. I mean, they're at home against Jameis Winston. I expect this game to be high scoring, but Winston's the type that could throw multiple pick sixes. We've seen that before. And Carolina, I mean, Ryan Tannehill, I said to stream him last week against Tampa Bay, but this is a different defense. They get after the quarterback, and they could force Ryan Tannehill into some bad decisions. So
I'm going with Philadelphia against the Chicago Bears and Mitch Trubisky. Who do you like, Heath?
Yeah, I like both of those options just fine. Another team that I found on the waiver wire that I'm planning on using, Carolina against Tennessee. They got embarrassed by the 49ers. I expect them to bounce back, and I don't really believe this idea that Ryan Tannehill's a good NFL quarterback.
Any others in the top 12 tags that you're fond of? I mean, obviously the Jets against Miami. I would mention Cleveland against Denver because Joe Flacco's out.
The Browns. Yeah, the Browns are someone that, like, I actually moved him in my top 5 right now against Denver and Brandon Allen.
And the reverse, Denver against Cleveland. I mean, this is going to be a low-scoring game, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel about it. The question is like, how much is Denver going to pass? But Cleveland does have a good pass rush, so when they do drop back to pass, it's like, can they get after him? I think so.
Heath, any others in the top 12 you want to talk about?
Not really.
Yeah, it is pretty ugly. Okay, guys, that's all for today's show. As always, Heath, it's a pleasure having you on. Thanks for taking the time.
Hey, thanks for having me on. It's always fun.
All right, and I want to say thanks to the sponsors of today's show, Grammarly. You can go to Grammarly.com/fantasypros to get 20% off your Grammarly premium account today. That's Grammarly.com/fantasypros for 20% off your Grammarly premium account. And also Pristine Auction, where everything is guaranteed authentic from only the most trusted sources. You're going to find some great values at PristineAuction.com, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, Auction.com. And when you sign up, make sure to enter that registration code, FANTASYPROS, for $5 off. Also, don't forget to sign up for the signed Julian Edelman Patriots helmet that we're going to be giving away this Thursday evening. Get your entries in by going to fantasypros.com/contest. And also, don't forget to check out the Fantasy Pros Google Chrome extension. It is really going to help you out. All right, everyone. For Heath Cummings and Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.